ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ब्रह्मानन्दम् परमसुखदम् केवलम् ज्ञानमूर्तिम् द्वन्द्वातीतम् गगनसदृशम् तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकम् नित्यम् विमलमचलम् सर्वधी साक्षिभूतम् भावातीतम् त्रिगुणरहितम् सद्गुरुम् तम् नमामि. ॐ ह्रीम् दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे. ह्रीम् ॐ ॐ ह्रीम् दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे. ह्रीम् ॐ ॐ ह्रीम् दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे. ह्रीम् ॐ ॐ ह्रीम् दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे. ह्रीम् ॐ ॐ ह्रीम् दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय रुद्राय शम्भवे. ह्रीम् ॐ ॐ ह्रीम् दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे. ह्रीम् ॐ ॐ ह्रीम् दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे. ह्रीम् ॐ ॐ ह्रीम् दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे. ह्रीम् ॐ ॐ ह्रीम् दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे. ह्रीम् ॐ ॐ ह्रीम् दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे. ह्रीम् ॐ ॐ ह्रीम् दक्षिणामूर्तये तुभ्यम् वटमूलनिवासिने ध्यानैकनिरताङ्गाय नमो रुद्राय शम्भवे. ह्रीम् ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः. ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यम् करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभ्यशृणुयामदेवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैः स्तुष्टुवागुंसस्तनुभिः व्यशेम देवहितै यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ यश्छन्दसां ऋषभो विश्वरूपः छन्दोऽभ्योऽध्यमृता आत्सम्बभूव समेन्द्रो मेधया आस्पृणोतु तस्य देवधारणो भूयासं शरीरं मे विचर्षणम् जिह्वा मे मधुमत्तमा कर्णाभ्यां भूरिविश्रुवम् ब्रह्मणः कोशोऽसि मेधया पिहितः श्रुतं मे गोपाय ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ मेधादेवी जुषमाणान आगात् विश्वाची भद्रा सुमनस्यमाना त्वया जुष्टानुदमाना दुरुक्तान् बृहद्वदेम विदथे सुवीराः त्वया जुष्टऋषिर्भवति देवि त्वया ब्रह्मागतश्रीरुतत्वया त्वया जुष्टश्चित्रम् विन्दते वसुसानो जुषस्व द्रविणो न मेधे मेधाम् म इन्द्रो ददातु मेधाम् देवी सरस्वती मेधाम् मे अश्विना उभावा धत्ताम् पुष्करस्रजा रासु च या मेधा गन्धर्वेषु च यन्मनः दैवी मेधा सरस्वती सामा मेधा सुरभिर्जुषताम् आमा मेधा सुरभिर्विश्वरूपा हिरण्यवर्णा जगती जगम्या ऊर्जस्वती पयसा पिन्वमाना सामा मेधा सुप्रतीका जुषन्ताम् मयि मेधाम् मयि प्रजाम् मयि अग्निस्तेजो ददातु मयि मेधाम् मयि प्रजाम् मयीन्द्र इन्द्रियम् ददातु मयि मेधाम् मयि प्रजाम् मयि सूर्यो भ्राजो दधातु ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः
So let me give you some time for you to ask me anything. You can ask me any questions you have also.
What happens when a person is in coma? What does Atma do then?
Atma doesn't do anything. Even then Atma is there. See, whether the person is in coma, the person is not in coma, alive, active, or the person is dead. Dead means what? Not the person, I mean, dead. The dead person, in a coma person, in a healthy, active person, in all of them, Atma is the same. Nothing happens to Atma. Atma is just the consciousness. In dead person also, consciousness is. In alive person also, Atma consciousness is. The person who is in coma also, very much consciousness is. Because, you know, consciousness doesn't come, consciousness doesn't stay, and doesn't depart, doesn't go, doesn't move around, because consciousness is of the nature of motionlessness, changelessness. Isn't it? In fact, unmoving is its nature. Atma is of the nature of motionlessness, changelessness, because unmoving is its again, so the nature of, it doesn't move. Why it, our consciousness does not move? Because motion is possible, movement is possible, change is possible, only, isn't it? If it is not, if it is spatially limited. It is not spatially also limited. Our consciousness is spatially limitless. What does it mean? There is no place where it is not. It pervades everything. Atma is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Consciousness is of the nature of all pervasiveness. Therefore, it is spatially limitless. Because there is no place where it is not. Therefore, for to move like this, there may be some space, isn't it? Therefore, it is of the nature of, it is unmoving is its nature, it is of the nature of motionlessness, changelessness. Therefore, Atma doesn't come, doesn't stay, doesn't go, doesn't leave, nothing. Atma is always there as pure consciousness. Unaffectedly, it is there. But that consciousness, because it is the abstract, most abstract vastu, reality, and it is of the nature of knowledge, the source of knowledge, it can never be an object of knowledge. That is why Atma, even though it's all pervasive, how do we see Atma? We try to see, we try to hear about it, we try to smell it, we try to understand using the words. We try to understand using your mind, intellect. Isn't it? Atma is never an object of knowledge. We're going to see in the very text later on. We're going to see that. Not now. I mean, we'll see that. Therefore, it is imperceptible. Therefore, we are not able to comprehend the fact that Atma is all-pervasive. Is imperceptible. It is not an object of knowledge. Atma is always there. But it is available, that's why you say it's available for recognition as the very subject, as the subject of knowledge, as truth of the I. Subject of knowledge. It's difficult to understand, accept this fact, understand this fact that, you know, Atma is all pervasive. For us, pervasive, anything it is there means you should be able to see. Because we have gross things in it. At least it should be available for thought perception. Even anything, the subtlest fact also within the realm of physics and science, you know, is an object of much. The subtlest fact also is what? Fact about subtle, much subtler object or thing also is what? Object of knowledge. But Atma being, Atma is imperceptible, it is not an object of knowledge, therefore what? It is difficult for us to comprehend this fact, Atma is all pervasive. So the all pervasiveness of Atma, or fullness of Atma, limitlessness of being nature of the Atma, can be understood only when you recognize the Swarupa of the Atma as the very self. And then we have seen many times what is the difference between, you know, the person in coma and the person in who is alive and person the dead person. Atma is always there. The difference is sukshma. The difference which, you know, caused by what? The sukshma, subtle. Subtle manifestation of the matter, which is also pervaded, which is pervaded by Atma in all the time. Is it? The subtle manifestation. So the sukshma shariram. Even the sukshma is not active, isn't it? Then the body is still alive, but still coma. Sukshma is put off. And so the Sushma departs from the body tot completely, then what happens? Body becomes dead. That's why Drigdrishya Veka class we had this. What is it really which makes the body dead? It's not the absence of consciousness. Not the absence of Atma. It is the departure of Sukshma Shariram which makes the body dead. It's not departure of consciousness, departure of Sukshma Shariram. Because Sukshma has some role, you know, plays an important role in making this gross body alive. Because in Sukshma, it is easy, natural for consciousness to become manifest. In gross, consciousness is, it cannot become manifest by itself. For the consciousness is always there, but is not manifest. For the consciousness to become manifest, it needs a manifesting medium. So subtler the material aspect, you can see how subtle and fine and beautiful the sukshma must be for the consciousness to be able to manifest. Isn't it? And not only it becomes a medium for manifestation of consciousness, the sukshma, being the medium for manifestation of consciousness, the sukshma is able to become conscious. Understand now, the sukshma by itself is inert. The sukshma becomes conscious, being the medium of manifestation of consciousness. And becoming conscious, the sukshma, amazing, is able to, what now? Being asked, it helps the consciousness to manifest further also. Where? Even in this sthula. See, the gross matter cannot be the medium for manifestation of consciousness. But the gross matter also can become a medium for manifestation of consciousness if it is associated with the sukshma, which is actually the medium for manifestation of consciousness. Therefore, the manifesting medium is gone. Departs. What happened to the consciousness here? Still consciousness is there. There's no more manifestation. Manifesting. And the manifesting medium is of the media or of varieties of types. The manifesting media or of varieties of types. Consciousness is the same. Is it clear? Another point. The consciousness, the Atma, is the same Atma. But where is the difference? The manifesting media or of varieties of forms, isn't it? So in keeping with the manifesting medium, the manifestation also is of that level. That is why there is a sukshma in an ant. There is sukshma in elephant. There is sukshma in horse. There is sukshma in what? Wherever you see a gross live form, everywhere there are many subtle forms. Every gross form, when you see a live gross form, a live gross form cannot be live without being blessed by the presence of sukshma, subtle gross, subtle material form. A gross, conscious, alive, live form is live and conscious because of what? Because of the blessing of the conscious subtle form. Material, isn't it? That subtle also you cannot perceive. What you see is only horse, elephant, ant, mosquito. Here you don't see. Like different forms, no? Even plants, for that matter, trees. Tree is a life form, isn't it? So all of them you see. In all these trees and plants, you know, insects, birds, butterflies, big animals, human beings, and all of them, they're all different types of gross material life forms. So in all of them, wherever you see the life, there must be sukshma. But of all the sukshmas are of the same type? No. The sukshma of an ant is different from the sukshma of butterfly. Sukshma of butterfly is different from sukshma of elephant or horse or insect, any other insect or worm. And the sukshma of the tree and the plant, a creeper and a plant and a tree, every sukshma is different from every other being. It's a sukshma which differentiates. Is it clear? So in keeping with the sukshma shariram, the manifestation also is there. But consciousness which is there in all of them is one and the same. But the level of manifestation differs in keeping with the medium of manifestation. In keeping with the medium of manifestation, the external life form also is different. Functions are different. That is why bird alone can fly. We can only maximum we can discover aeroplane and we can also fly. We cannot fly like birds. We cannot crawl like worms. And worms cannot walk fast like us, run like us. And horses, of course, we can try to run like horses. But horses alone can run. Elephant cannot run as like a horse. The physical structure is that. Why? The sukshma is different, isn't it? The level of manifestation. But in all of them, certain common, all the living beings, certain common things. The perceptual knowledge. There again, certain animals, you know, the dog can make out. If you come with a stick, you're coming with a stick or a biscuit, the dog can make out. If you come with a stick, it stays away. If you come with a biscuit, it comes near you. Same way, cow. Trinavan purushaha, dandavan purushaha. Whether a person comes with a grass, a branch of grass, or he comes with a stick. Can make out, isn't it? See, there's some base namaj. But you cannot go and talk to a cow, you know. I love you so much and you look so nice. The cow will not, poor cow cannot listen and cannot, can you? I can't respond to you also. Why? Cow, we can't, there's knowledge, but how much is the level of manifestation? Any amount of manifestation of knowledge, any level of manifest knowledge is in keeping with the manifesting medium, but the consciousness is the source of knowledge. Is it clear now? Isn't it beautiful to know that? Isn't it? In a plant also, there is a sukshma. Maximum, there knowledge is manifest, but how much can it become manifest?
When I was driving here this morning, I was driving along and I noticed I was looking at things and people, everything was very beautiful. And I noticed that I was looking, what I was looking for, I always looking for, and I think everyone, I was looking for purity and perfection. And as I was trying, I suddenly realized that the purity and perfection I was looking for isn't in the stula sharira. It's not in the sukshma. It's only in the
consciousness, yeah.
So, and it was absolutely clear right at that moment, and the consciousness was clear, and it was known that it was always pure and it never changed and it had always been present. What is that knowledge? Is that knowledge the same as consciousness, or is it knowledge of in the mind?
No, that knowledge also is a manifestation of consciousness only. The knowledge, when you think, there's no such thing called perfection on the part of the any material aspects, material, subtle or gross. Understand? Nothing can be totally perfect. So the perfection means, or purity means, changelessness means, knowledge means, it is consciousness, isn't it? So, when you talk about knowledge, I understand consciousness, for a second, fractional second, it flashed. There's no perfection on the part of material forms. The perfection is the nature of consciousness. And then, purity is the nature of consciousness. Because there's no such thing called impurity on the part of consciousness. Doesn't become pure, doesn't become impure also. Purity is a swarupam. It doesn't become beautiful, it doesn't become ugly. Beauty is its swarupam. Isn't it? When this knowledge flashes, that knowledge also is manifest knowledge in your buddhi, mind. That's not consciousness. Knowledge of consciousness being, isn't it, pure and perfect, is the manifest knowledge. Just a vritti. It's called a vritti jnanam. Any knowledge of any object is a vritti jnanam. Knowledge of the nature of consciousness also is what? Vritti jnanam. It's a manifest knowledge. Knowledge of the Atma is also a vritti. That knowledge has to become manifest, isn't it? That is what Shastram helps. See, there's no knowledge of consciousness, isn't it? Knowledge about or of.
No, but consciousness was known.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Consciousness, there's recognition of the swarup of consciousness, isn't it?
Yeah.
That knowledge of consciousness, the nature of consciousness also is what? A vritti, which is also manifest knowledge. Consciousness is the pure knowledge. I tell you, there is no such thing called unmanifest knowledge. You have to understand this Shastra words. There is pure knowledge, there is manifest knowledge. Pure knowledge is consciousness. Understand? Pure knowledge is consciousness. That is a pure consciousness. Manifest knowledge, knowledge of anything is manifest knowledge. Or, when you see the knowledge, not only the vritti, knowledge means not only just the thought which arises in the mind. Even without being taught by anybody, without being instructed by anybody, without being guided by anybody, without any help, aid or help or support, when any function happens also, there is knowledge. That knowledge also is what? Manifest knowledge. Isn't it? Suppose the whole physical system, the human system, animal system, insect system, bird system, a worm system, plant system, countless forms are there, countless beings are there. In all of them, isn't it, functions? So the functions are, how are the functions happening? Every function, every system functions means there is an order involved in every function, every system. And that order is backed by that knowledge. That knowledge is what? Manifest knowledge. You cannot say there is no knowledge in the heart. involuntary, isn't it? Heart is an organ and which keeps on functioning, pumping the blood all over the body. That function is what? Ishvara, Bhagavan, we say. Why? There is an order involved in the function. That is why the disorder is to be, disorder can be corrected also. And if function, order is there, means order must be backed by what? Knowledge. Why? Who? There is a knowledge on the part of the heart. There is knowledge on the part of the lungs, kidneys, every cell. There is knowledge. There is knowledge on the part of the plant cell. But that knowledge you cannot see through physical eyes. That's the problem. We want to see through everything physical eyes. We try to understand that. We can only understand the knowledge being manifest. Is it clear now? That manifest knowledge is consciousness. Is it clear now? Consciousness is not the manifest knowledge. But manifest knowledge is nothing but consciousness. Because consciousness is the source of knowledge. So, consciousness as such is what? Pure knowledge. How to know what is pure knowledge, what is manifest knowledge? How to differentiate? That because of which knowledge is possible is pure knowledge. So, the pure knowledge alone is there as the manifest knowledge in the every system, every organ. That is why there is no such thing called separation, isn't it? Like there are so many opaque things in this room. And every opaque object is what? Manifesting medium for the light. You can say reflecting medium for the light. When all these objects are not here, the room was empty, still there was light. But when you come and see here, you say, oh, nothing is here. When you bring in some objects and you count and say, oh, so many things are here. Why do you say nothing is here when the objects were not here? You can never see something which is colorless, which is uniform, which is unmoving. Attention of the mind, you know, cannot be drawn. Attention of the mind can be focused on something which is colorless, I mean, which is unmoving, which is uniform in its nature. When you came in here first, and because a new house, no chair, nothing. Just making it think. And then I'm standing there, other side. And then I'm asking, Rajaji, what are you seeing? Swamiji, I'm not seeing anybody here. There's no Peter, there's no Rodney, no Nina, nobody is here, nothing is here, nothing is here, nothing is here. And I ask you again, nothing is there? Yes, I don't see anything here. Why, Rajaji, you say that? There is light. I did not think about it. We never think about it. Why you are not able to say, there's only light. When I ask you, what is there? Why can't you give an answer? It's very casual, isn't it? There's only light. There is space and only light is there. You never give an answer. But after some time, after putting some chairs and things, I ask you, what are all the things there? You count and say, this many number of chairs are there, this is there. Even then you miss one thing. That is light. Why? The mind cannot be drawn towards something which looks uniform and unmoving, which is unmoving. In fact, light should be counted first. You know why? It is because of the light you are able to see everything here. But you missed that out. You count all these number of chairs. In light is not there. Can you count these chairs? Do these objects, do they make any sense? You cannot even see them. Therefore, that's why we say, the light was there even before the objects came in. The light is even during the presence of the objects. In fact, because of the light alone, the objects come to light. The light will continue to be there even if the objects are removed from here. That means, you're able to see the light, isn't it? You're able to recognize the light. Even the light is there always, it is because of the light you're able to perceive the very opaque objects. But still you're able to recognize the light when there is object, isn't it? I ask you, what is that because of which you are able to see this mic being in front of me? That means it becomes what? Manifesting medium for the light. Is it clear now? Similarly here, consciousness is always there as what is pure knowledge. I tell you here, if in the presence of light, in the presence of opaque object, light is what? Manifest light. In the absence of opaque object, light is pure light. Light, there's no impure light, okay? Light is always pure only. I mean the mere light. Mere. Light alone is there. Pure means mere. Mere light is there. Is it clear what I'm saying? Doesn't mean when I say in the absence of mic, there is pure light. In the presence of mic, there is manifest light means. I do not mean there is an impure light. Light is never impure. It's always pure. But to differentiate the light without the object, from the object, or in the absence of, I say pure light. When I entered, then you will hear what now next time. When I entered, just pure light was there. Pure light means just the light, mere light. There's no such thing as impure light, isn't it? And objects become what? Manifesting medium. Similarly, matter and the material products, they become manifesting medium for consciousness. What happens to matter? Matter resolves, all the material products resolve, the names and forms resolve. What is there? Pure consciousness. When the matter becomes manifest, is it? The material products are there. In all of them, what happens to consciousness? Still there is consciousness, pure consciousness, but you see the manifest consciousness, which is manifest knowledge. Is it clear? It is manifest knowledge. And in other parts, like in heart, in lungs, in kidneys, in all your nerves, in your cells, in your blood, in your, in hemoglobin, in your DNA, in your nerves, in your blood vessels, everywhere you see what? Everything is involved in some function, isn't it? We don't see it through physical eyes. So there is a function, means there is an order. An order is backed by knowledge. That knowledge is what? Manifest knowledge. Manifestation of consciousness. Same way, there's also manifest knowledge manifest in buddhi. Buddhi is a very, very special, subtle antahkaranam. Antahkaranam means what? Not somewhere sitting inside. Subtlest of the manifestations. Heart is a gross manifestation. It's a gross material manifestation, isn't it? Gross material product compared to, because you can see, no, you can see like potato, isn't it? With the holes. Whereas you can't do that with the mind, no? What about mind? That is what we understand. Mind is the most sophisticated, highest form of manifestations of the matter. And there also, the function of mind also is within the realm of order. There also is knowledge backing. That knowledge also is what? Manifestation of consciousness. And as a part of the function of mentation, the knowledge of objects happens. That's also what? Knowledge arises. Oh, there is a mic. There is fragrance. It's also what? Knowledge which arises in the form of a thought is also what? Manifestation of knowledge. It's also a manifest knowledge. When you say, I suddenly feel the imperfection, the degree of perfection varies from object to object, things to thing, person to person. The purity also, isn't it? The degree of purity varies, but all this, the impurities and imperfections are only on the part of the material aspects, but not on the part of consciousness. Actually, consciousness is of the nature of perfection and purity. It's just a noun. There's no adjective possible for the part of consciousness. You can't have perfect consciousness. The perfection is a swarupam of consciousness. You can't have pure consciousness actually as an adjective. Purity is the very swarupam of consciousness. That clicks for a second means that's what? Knowledge. Isn't it? Knowledge. That knowledge manifests knowledge. But that is the paravidya actually. That is, but that, because there is no enough nidhyasanam. If there is no enough nidhyasanam, that understanding becomes firm. It doesn't flash and go. Understanding happens. That's also what vritti, that's also thought. That's not consciousness. Anything which comes and goes is vritti. Knowledge which comes and goes is vritti, isn't it? Goes means, of course, there. That is what I'm saying, the vritti you can see. And what is that because of which the knowledge rising is known? That is consciousness. I don't know whether it makes sense.
I'd like to have a question.
Yeah.
Which is, how is it then that it is said that the self is recognized?
Self is?
Recognized.
Yeah. See, recognized means recognition of the self. We don't say not as an object here. See, cognition, recognition, knowledge also. We say even self-knowledge we say. That we use the word self-knowledge. It only means. Even though we use the word knowledge, actually the same question comes here in the scanner. We are going to see that very beautiful answer is going to begin by Shankara. When you say, I want to know the self, or I want to recognize the self, even then, recognition, cognition, knowing, knowledge, knowing, etc. is what? Are all verbs, isn't it? Recognize is what? A verb. Know is a verb. Cognize is a verb. Verb means always is used with what? They're all transitive verbs. I know means know what? I recognize means recognize what? Cognize means cognize what? That means they're all transitive verbs. They imply the objects. Therefore, verbs can be used only to mean, especially transitive verbs also. In any verbs, verbs can be used only with reference to an object. Objects of knowledge. And we say self is not an object of knowledge at all. consciousness is not an object of knowledge at all. Therefore, it is not possible for us to use any verb, using any verb in terms of consciousness, in terms of self, will be improper expression. Because self is not an object at all. Because we loosely, we helplessly, for want of words, you have to use this expression, self-knowledge, self-recognition, definitely not realization. Then how do we say that? Because is recognition of this consciousness means, knowledge of consciousness means, not as an object, but as the very subject, where the true source of the very subject. That is why we use the word recognition. And second thing, there is no way of, you never recognize, see even the light is here. The light, because of the presence of which you recognize this mic here. You say, you know the mic being here. And is it? Without whose presence the mic, this mic, opaque mic would have been invisible. Even though it is present here. Maybe present, but it would have been invisible. It would have been unknown. You know, if there is no light. But this mic, with the help of the mic, you recognize the very light. Similarly, here also, the very self, very subject, very source of knowledge, very meaning of the very word, you, subject of knowledge also, you know you are, but you do not know what you are. That's the problem, isn't it? That self itself is recognized what? No, through this manifesting medium. Therefore, I use the term recognition. Really speaking, it is then, I know means I know what? Know as an object or know as a subject? When I say I know this is a mic, anything you say I know that, I know that, I know that, I know that, always what is to be known by you is different from you. Object of knowledge. But when the question of self comes, what is known is not an object, what is known is not known as an object but known as a subject. Is it clear now? What is anything other than consciousness? Everything else is known as an object. Consciousness alone known as the very subject. Is it clear now? Therefore, we use the verbs only to mean the objects. We never use the verbs to, because always you are the subject of knowledge. Therefore, self-knowledge is very special because self is known, consciousness alone is known as the self, as the subject. Other than consciousness, everything else, anything else known is what? Known as an object only. Object of knowledge. In fact, the same Upanishad, one full verse, long bhashyam, very beautiful, deals only with that. The student is going to say that. You are going to see that.
So, the mind is never the knower. It's only the manifesting medium.
Yeah.
It's never the knower. Because this is, I think, the mistake, certainly, that I make. It's not clear. And the error is that the mind knows. But it doesn't. It's just a manifesting medium for knowledge.
Yeah. Actually speaking, that's the thing. I told you already.
Yes, you did.
See, this I make it very clear. You say body is the, suppose the body is the doer. The body does activities. Walking, running, doing everything. The performer of actions. Who is the performer of actions? We say Atma is of the nature of actionlessness. But who is the performer of actions? Isn't it? Physical body, isn't it? So we say, body by itself cannot perform actions. Look at this. Body by itself cannot perform actions. Without being blessed by conscious sukshma, this gross body cannot, no actions are possible without the physical body, but the physical body cannot perform actions just by itself without being blessed by the presence of conscious sukshma. Isn't it? Therefore we say what now? Body is not, so does conscious, does sukshma perform the actions? When you throw the ball, does the sukshma push the ball? No. This grass hands alone push the ball. Look at this. Simple. Let me come from the grass to sattu. You take the ball and throw the ball. Playing throw ball. And you can say, who is the thrower of the ball? Hands. But not the sukshma. Does the sukshma throw? No. But without the sukshma, can the dead hands throw the ball? No. Then what do you understand here? Hey, sukshma is not the performer of actions. Physical body is the performer of actions. But without the sukshma, physical body cannot perform the actions. Therefore, performer of actions actually behind this sthula is sukshma. Not directly. Is it clear now? Similarly, now you come to sukshma now. What seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, isn't it? All these sense perceptions, five types of perceptions of five different objects happening through five different senses. Okay, perception in general, I say. Perceptions of different objects. Perception happens. Isn't it? Even senses. Do they perceive? Yes. But do they perceive on their own without being backed by mind? No. Even the organs of actions. Do they function by themselves? No. Backed by what? Sukshma. Isn't it? No, therefore we say again sukshma. Then you go to mind again. Who is the knower there? Okay, now you dare in mind also you have to differentiate now. Desire is a thought, isn't it? Desire. When the desire is there, you say there must be desirer, isn't it? One because of whom desire is possible. Desire is a thought. Anger is a thought. And then knowledge is a thought. Ignorance is a thought. So all these thoughts are there. But do these thoughts exist by themselves? Can desire exist by itself without you being there? I am, anger must be there, isn't it? I am, jealousy can be there. When I am there, desire is possible. Without this knowledge I am, look at this now, without this knowledge I am, can there be, just by itself, can these thoughts exist? Can there be jealousy? Can there be hatred? Like how this mango or apple hangs from the plant, isn't it? Can there be desire by itself? Can there be a phenomenon called a fear by itself? You know, I came away, I left my fear there. Can you say that? The desire, I had my desire and I left my desire there, and my desire is sitting in another house, I am here. Is it possible to say that? It is no such thing called desire, anger, like, dislike, hatred, knowledge, understanding, misunderstanding, you know, perception or confusion, fear, nothing. Without this knowledge, I am. I am here, my fear has gone. My fear gone means what? There is no such thing called without this knowledge, I am. These thoughts alone cannot exist by themselves. Therefore, there is no such thing called mind or intellect or memory. I am not here, my memory alone is here. Can you hear that? There is no such thing called memory without the knowledge I am. There is no such thing called intellect, understanding, knowledge, clarity, cheerfulness or enthusiasm without knowledge I am. There is no confusion, fear or anger or desire without knowledge I am. Therefore, what is the basis for all these thoughts which form the mind? What is the basis? What is the basis? What is that without which all these thoughts will be as good as non-existent? You. You means what? The knowledge I am, which itself is a thought. I am is what? Knowledge. The knowledge I am itself is what? A thought. You just see. I am itself is knowledge. And that is the knowledge I am itself is a thought. Without this thought, without this knowledge I am, no other thought is possible. All the thoughts are based on this knowledge I am. Centered on this knowledge I am. So, like any other thought is an object of knowledge, this knowledge I am also is an object of knowledge. But we are not able to see that. Is it clear now? Any thought is object of knowledge. I am also is what? A thought. I am also is knowledge, which is a thought, which is also object of knowledge. There is light is knowledge, isn't it? It's a thought. There is no darkness is knowledge, it's a thought. There are few people sitting in the hall is a knowledge. And knowledge is known, isn't it? Similarly, I am also is knowledge, which is a thought, which is also object of knowledge. And here, what happens? Every object here shines because of light. Similarly, this body also shines because of what? Light. Every other object shines because of light. This body also shines because of light. Is it clear now? Therefore, but what I do? All the bodies shine because of light. I am seeing all the bodies shining in the presence of light. But I have eye sense in the body. I don't see my body also as an object shines like any other body. Similarly here, all the thoughts, isn't it? All these thoughts, which are objects of knowledge, which shine where? Which arise where? Because of consciousness. But you cannot make out. You cannot understand. you have to know this particular thought. This knowledge, I am, is a thought, which is also object of knowledge. No other thought is possible when this knowledge, I am, is not there. That is why in deep sleep state, please understand why, in deep sleep state, there is no jealousy, there is no hatred, there is no anger, there is no desire, there is no passion, there is no knowledge, who is not. There is no ignorance also. There is no ignorance of something. In deep sleep state, you cannot say I was ignorant of something. In deep sleep state, there is no such thing called ignorance of something, knowledge of something. There is jealousy, there is hatred, there is anger, there is nothing. Know why nothing is there? There is only one thing, that is nothing is there. Because the knowledge I am is also not there. The simple thing. If the knowledge I am, this one thought is not there, no other thought is possible. If the one thought is there, any other thought is possible. The basis of I am is, all thoughts is I am, which is knowledge, which is the I thought we say, which is also thought, which is also object of knowledge like any other thought. I thought also is an object of knowledge like any other thought. But you are not able to distinguish. I am here, Mike is. But what do we say? I have Mike. I am here, Mike is means. It's correct, isn't it? Then there's objectivity. I am here, Mike is. I am here, light is. I am here, you know, Vishwanathan is here. I am here, flowers are. I am here, building is. That means I am objective towards everything. But in mind what happens? I am, jealousy is. I am, anger is. I am, no, knowledge is. I am, ignorance is. Is it clear now? I am, this is, means you are objective towards those object things. But what do? Instead of saying, I am, jealousy is, I am jealous. I am, hatred is, I have hatred. This possession. So now, it's called taking up on you. It's called superimposing. I am, this is. When you say I am, Mike is means, I can be objective towards the mic. I don't internalize the mic, isn't it? I have mic means what? I possess it, isn't it? Similarly, I'm giving a gross example to understand something subtle. Anger is, I am, anger is means, there is a state of mind, anger, which forms part of the individual, isn't it? Which is there. I am, anger is means what? You are objected towards the anger. But what do? You internalize. How do you say? I am angry. Is it clear now? I am is knowledge, which is a thought, which is also an object of knowledge, which is as good as any other thought. I am is a different thought, anger is a different thought. Is it clear? I am itself is a thought. Anger is a thought. Ignorance is a thought. Knowledge is a thought. And all these thoughts are there in waking state. in deep sleep state, all these thoughts resolve. So thoughts are, how do you know? There is knowledge, isn't it? Thoughts are known. Thoughts being there, no, is known. No thought is there in deep sleep state is also known. That is where the beauty, isn't it? So thoughts being there is known, thoughts being resolved also is known. Why it resolves? Why it rises? That's how mind functions. Whether the thoughts resolve, or thoughts are there, or thoughts rise, thoughts exist, or thoughts resolve, thoughts being resolved, thoughts rising, thoughts being there, thoughts being not there, is always known. So here comes the question, what is that? Now, because of the presence of which? Thoughts being there is known, thoughts being not there also is known. That in the presence of whom, in the presence of which thoughts being, thoughts shine. The presence of thoughts shines. The absence of thoughts also shines. Absence also shines. Presence also shines. Presence of objects shines where? In the light, present light. Absence also shines where? In the light, isn't it? Oh, not there also, how do you know? Nothing is there, how do you say? There is light, isn't it? Something is there, how do you say? Because of the light. Same way. Thoughts, presence of thoughts or absence of thoughts, both shine because of what? Consciousness. Is it clear now? That consciousness is, or no, is of the nature of knowledge. If you ask, how does light make it shine, the presence shine, how does the light make the absence of objects shine? Light doesn't need to do anything. Mayaswarupam. Making it shine, making the presence shine, making the absence shine is its nature. Is it clear now? Therefore, knowing is, similarly here, knowing is the swarupam of consciousness. How does the consciousness know thoughts are not there? That is its nature. It's not a function. Because light does not need to do any action to illumine this opaque mic. But its mere presence, light illumines. So mere presence, consciousness knows. Knows means what? Knowing is not an action there again. Swarupam. That is why conscious we say what? Driya. That which is of the nature of knowledge. That is why reality is implied by another term, pure knowledge. Now, pure light means what? That which is of the nature of illumining. Is it clear now? Without an action, by its mere presence. So, that which is of the nature of knowing, by its mere presence, is pure knowledge, consciousness, the reality. Is it clear now? Therefore, now you know. I am, when you say, it's a thought. Where does a thought exist? Where does the opaque object exist? On top of the light. So where does a thought exist? I am. You cannot see through physical eyes. Not outside of consciousness. So what is this thought? Thought is consciousness. What is I am? Consciousness. What is anger? Consciousness. What is jealousy? Consciousness. What is hatred? Consciousness. Is consciousness hated? No. Is consciousness I am? No. I am? No. It's like water is not the wave, but every wave is water. Similarly, consciousness is not I, consciousness is not you, consciousness is not anything, but I am consciousness. This is consciousness. That is consciousness. You are consciousness. All that is here is consciousness. But how do you arrive at it? Not with the help of any object. You go to the very I. Is it clear? That's why I is very... People say self, self means what? You discover what this I am is. Not I am. I am is, I'm saying. And there we say, where is the knower now? Mind also is the known. Is it clear now? So, we say that, so mind also is the known. There is knowledge that the eyes can see. There is knowledge that somebody is going. There is knowledge of something, which is the mind. Who is actual knower there? That which knows is the knower, we know. We say mind knows. Mind knows. What is that which who's thinking? Mind thinks. What is that which is confused? Mind. So can you say the mind is the knower, mind is the thinker? It's like saying, simply saying, who is the one who is throwing the ball? Physical hands. Physical hand is throwing the ball. But really speaking, who is the throw? Can you say that my hand is a throw? One who is throwing? No. Why? Hand cannot throw by itself. But is the sukshma thrower is the one who which throws the thing? No. Why not action? That which throws the ball is not the sukshma. Okay? It's a sukshma. But sukshma is not the one who is throwing. Is it clear? Similarly, consciousness, mind is not the knower. Why? Because the mind by itself cannot be involved in the function of knowing. Mind by itself cannot know anything. There cannot be a function called knowing. Are thinking. But does consciousness know? Does consciousness think? No. The one who thinks, but without consciousness, mind cannot think, mind cannot know. Therefore, who is a thinker? Thinker is consciousness, knower is consciousness. Is it clear now? Consciousness is not the knower, but the knower is consciousness. It's like Rojaji, if we're saying, what is here is light, isn't it? Light. And we say, who is the illuminator here? Because all objects are illumined, there must be illuminator. Yes, you cannot say light is the illuminator. Because illumination is not an action. But there must be something. Who is the illuminator? There is no other illuminator other than the light. Remember, illuminator is light, isn't it? When you say illuminator is light, there is no illuminator other than the light. Illuminator becomes resolved in light. Light and illuminator are not two different things. Are they two different things? When you say illuminator is light, are they two different things? Illuminator is light, is right sentence. Are they two different things, illuminator and the light? You remove the light, they won't be illuminated. Therefore, they're not two different things. Illuminator is the light, when you say, you're resolving illuminator in the light. What is there is only just the light. Is it clear now? Similarly, there's no knower, there's no thinker, there's no feeler, there's no seer, there's no hearer, there's no smeller, there's no taster, there's no eater, no, there's no runner, doer, performer without consciousness. But consciousness is not the performer. Consciousness is not the knower, not the thinker, not the feeler, not the doer, not the performer. Is it clear now? Therefore, similarly, consciousness is not the knower. Okay, mind also is not the knower, but the knower is none other than consciousness. Is it clear, Rajaji? I made some, at least do I make any sense?
Yes, it makes great sense.
The thing is, the mind, there's no, that's why the problem is, then because mind becomes the ahankara, isn't it? Of course, I am, Raja, I am, is the basic thought. See, the objectivity is there towards everything external to the body. I mean, you study Shastra for length of time, even objectivity comes even towards the body. But it's very difficult for one to be objective towards one's own mind. See, it is very easy to be objective towards everything else, external to the senses. And you study Shastra for length of time repeatedly and slowly you become objective towards your own physical body. Even then it's very difficult. But what is more difficult is to be objective towards one's own mind. Suppose even if you say, I am, what is I am? What is this I am? When you say I am, it's a word, expressed word. What does the word I am mean? It's just a thought, expression of the thought, the knowledge. Is it clear? What is I am? It's just a thought. When you say I am, it's expression of the thought I am. When you do not say, there's just a thought. Word remains the name of a thought. Expressed thought becomes a word. And what this I am is, what this thought is, now we can ask any thought is, what any thought is, what this mind as a whole is, where does it exist? Doesn't take outside of consciousness. The mind becomes a medium with the help of which, using the same mind, the mind alone is involved in the function of knowing everything. The mind has a capacity to know anything because of consciousness, being blessed by consciousness. And the same mind, which is capable of knowing anything, being blessed by consciousness, has to discover what is that because of which I am? I mean what? Because of which? What is this mind all about? That is why it is knowing the very truth of the mind. Knowing anything other than the mind, external to the mind, is easy. Even the much subtlest science, physics aspects. But knowing the very truth of the mind, the very existence of the mind, isn't it? Is subtlest knowledge. The existence of the mind, the truth of the mind, the reality of the mind is nothing but there's no thought exists out. It's not what you call thought which exists outside of, independent of consciousness. Consciousness is definitely distinct from the thought. Like light is distinct, different from the mic. Distinct from the mic. But But you can't say, oh, that means light is one thing, mic is one thing, two different things. We say light alone is there. We don't account this opaque object. We can't account for this. Why? In the absence of light, the mic will be, if the mic can exist independent of the light, opaque object can have existence independent, can have the status of being existent independent of the light. Then you can say, yes, opaque object is one thing, light is one thing, you can say two things are there. Similarly, matter and the material product, subtlest product to mind, which is the best manifesting medium, highest form of manifestation of consciousness, which I am. Manifesting medium is mind, amazing mind. But still, even though mind is the manifesting medium for consciousness, the mind by itself, this cannot have the status of being existent without consciousness. Therefore, mind, matter and the material products cannot have cannot be counted a second thing. Is it clear now? That's why they get given the status mithya. They are neither non-existent nor are they independently existent. The matter is neither non-existent. Not non-existent. It is very much there. Manifesting medium for consciousness. But is it independently existent? No. Therefore, what is the status? What should it be known as then? Mithya. What is consciousness then? Only reality. Independently existent. Matter is not, still it exists. It can exist. That's why only Satyam. Is it clear now? Therefore, mind, see, that is the thing. This distinguishing consciousness, or knowing consciousness being distinct from the mind, is a big thing. Because objectivity towards one's own mind is the most difficult thing. Is it clear now? Objectivity towards one's own mind is the most difficult thing. In Nididhyasanam, it will be clear. Meditation, to some extent, but not clear. But Nididhyasanam is the best thing. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.